this? God, will you do this for me? Will you accomplish what I want you to accomplish in my life? I'm going to give you the same lesson that I'm giving to the teens. We're in a series right now called Game Changer. I want to encourage our teenagers not only to grow, not only to walk with the Lord, but to be game changers. Not just to be a Christian who kind of goes through life, and maybe even people know that they're Christians at school, but somebody who's a game changer. Who's a game changer? That's somebody who, when the game is going on and it's starting to shift and things are not going their way, they put in this guy. And this guy goes in, and all of a sudden the momentum shifts because he's a game changer. Well, you know, we don't have to have some great athletic abilities to be a game changer in the Christian life. We are all gifted when we are saved. We are gifted to be game changers in the Christian life. Go to Daniel chapter number 2, if you would. Last week, I'll just give you some background. Last week with the teenagers, we were in Daniel chapter 1, and we were talking about standing strong, about standing firm. And I know that we often think of stories like Daniel because Daniel was a young man. And in the book of Daniel, we have Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we think of them because they're young people, that these are stories for young people. When Pastor texted me today about preaching tonight, I really was trying to find something else. And I didn't have peace about anything else. I looked at several other things. I was like, well, maybe I'll preach that, maybe I'll preach that. I didn't have time to prepare something new. But I kept coming back to this, saying, we need game changers in the rest of our church, not just in the teens. We need people who are willing to stand as Daniel and his friends did. They decided that they had purposed in their heart. Daniel had purpose in his heart, and I think his other friends did too. He had purpose in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And so last week, we talked with the teens. I encouraged them to stand firm, but you know what? You have to know where you're going to stand before you have to stand. Because if we wait until the pressure comes, if we wait until, you know, if in basketball, in the pros, there's that little dashed circle. And if you're standing underneath the basket and you're inside that circle, your foot's touching that circle, and somebody comes in for a layup and they run over you, it doesn't matter what they do. If they run over you, it's a foul on you because you're inside that circle. But if you know where you're supposed to stand before you get there, and you stand outside that circle, and you take the charge, it's a foul on them. You have to know where you're going to stand before the pressure comes. And so I tried to encourage the teens last week to be a game changer and stand firm. Now in Daniel chapter number 2, the first few verses, I should have taken these off here. This is our teen memory verse, so if you say this to me right now, I'll give you candy. But I don't know if anybody's ready for that. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What would you do if? I asked this question. I'm not going to let you guys respond because you probably wouldn't anyway. But what would you do if you're stuck on a mountain, you're hiking a mountain, you're by yourself, you fall, you break your leg, blood is gushing all over, and you have a ball of yarn, that's all you have. What would you do? Well, the teenagers gave me answers like, maybe you would make a tourniquet out of the string to stop your leg from bleeding, stop you from bleeding out. And that's a good answer, right? Some of them said, well, maybe I would just keep wrapping it to try to stop the bleeding. Not make a tourniquet, but kind of make a Band-Aid out of it. Micah Long said, I would take the ball and I would throw it down the mountains. Maybe somebody would see it and they'd come to see where this ball of string came from. You know, that's how Micah Long thinks. The thing here, what should we do? Well, I think if we're all in that position, we might think this or think that, but I think most of us would go, man, I need to pray about this because I'm scared. I'm scared a mountain lion's going to come get me. I'm scared that I'm going to freeze up here in the mountain. I'm scared of something. And we would pray. And how many times does our prayer life exist only for the purpose of crisis or for want? It's not, our prayer life should not just consist of that. Pray fervently. When the going gets tough, I'm trying to read that because it's small. How quickly do you call for help. We have cell phones now. Things are different than even when I was a kid. Cell phones were invented in 1973 or something like that, before I was born. I just wanted to say that. They were invented before I was born, but they weren't really common until I was 17, 18 years old. Now we pick up the phone and we call and we say, hey, I need help. We call, when we're young, we call our dad, we call our mom, we call this person, we call that person. We get older and we have people that we call. Maybe it's 911, depending on what problem we're having. How quickly do we call for help? And how often do we instead try to figure out a plan? Man, I'm in this situation, and listen, I don't, this is not just teenager stuff. We all go through situations. We all go through times of pressure, times of trial. And what do? We call this person, we call that person, we call that person, we try to come up with a plan. But our first call should be to the Lord. We are going to talk about people who are in crisis tonight, but our prayer life should not just consist of the times we're in crisis. But let me also say this. When we're in crisis, it's a great time to talk to the Lord. Daniel chapter number 2, if you would, stand with me. In the first 11 verses, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he's bothered. He's been having these dreams. It sounds like maybe he was having these dreams repeatedly, and he has dreams, and it's bothering him. The dreams are weighing on him. He's really, really torn up about them, and he wants to understand what the dream means. And he calls all the wise men, the astrologers, the astronomers, people who study the stars, people who should know all this stuff. And he calls them and he says, come explain to me what my dream means. And they said, okay, king, we'll explain to you what the dream means. Tell us what your dream is. And he says, no, if you can tell me what my dream means, you should be able to tell me what my dream is. And all the people and all the wise men go, no, just tell us what the dream is. We'll tell you what it means. And he puts a test to him and he says, no, if you can tell me what it is, what my dream was and what it means, I'll spare your life. But otherwise, off with your heads. Now that brings us to verse number 12. It says this, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Jewish names. Verse 18, that they would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Daniel. We thank you that what he went through, what he learned, what we can glean from this book and from this chapter, Lord, it applies to all of us. Lord, help us to become people of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here's the point of what we're going to talk about. Our prayers connect us with God's plan. Our prayers connect us with God's plan. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go through. Who do I go to? When I'm going through a trial, who do I go to? You'll have people say, and this is a good thing, you'll have people say, hey, when you're down and out, when you're going through a trial, you can come to me. I'll be here for you. And that's good. We're thankful for friends like that. And we say, hey, you know what? You can count on me. But you know, more important than you can count on me is you can count on him. So who do I go to? The king here, he goes to his wise men. The king commanded death to those wise men because they couldn't answer the question. They couldn't carry it out. The king says, you're not the right guys, and so death to you. I mean, he's angry. This dream is bothering him. So he's ready to off all of his wise men because they couldn't answer this question. And so Daniel responds with counsel and wisdom, it says. When you read in verse number 14, it says that Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. The word counsel means prudence. Whenever I hear the word prudence, I think of George H.W. Bush. And we said, that wouldn't be prudent, not at this juncture. I have no idea. I just wanted to share that with you. That's what I think of when I think of the word prudence. But I had to look it up because I said, what does that even mean, prudence? I mean, I know kind of what it means, but it means to be careful. And so Daniel Now, if I'm Daniel and the king wants to kill me because these other buffoons can't answer his question, I'm going to kind of freak out, like, guys, we got to figure something out. We got to come up with a plan. And I'm going to call my buddies, and I'm going to say, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Azrael, and Mishael, and Azariah, hey, guys, we need to come up with a plan, so let's get together and let's meet about this. But Daniel, he handles this instead of freaking out, he handles it with prudence or carefulness and wisdom. He handles it with carefulness and wisdom. He's using wisdom. We're going to talk more about wisdom as we get down into this a little bit more. Daniel petitions the king for time to pray. He goes to the king in verse number 16, and then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel goes to the king not just to beg for time. He's not stalling. Like, you, probably all the other guys are going, hey, let's come up with, can we just have a few minutes? Can we stall for a little bit? I went to a meeting Monday with the city council. Pastor had asked me to go because he was out of town. And it was not city council, but with Kelly and the mayor and then a whole bunch of other people that the mayor wanted to meet with. And so we sat in this meeting, and they were considering something in city council. And I don't have time to get into all that. And it was, personally, I'd like to see it pass. I thought I saw Steve here. But I was sitting with Kelly. And it's something that I would like to see passed, and the mayor wants to see passed, and everybody in the room wanted to see passed. But they were seeing that the city council had more votes no than they do yes. It's about medical marijuana. I'd encourage you, if you live in Warren, to look into it. But they were, I'd like to see it passed, but the city council had more votes no. So Kelly voted, or she petitioned whatever for it to be tabled. She made a motion that it be tabled, and they decided to table it. It was a stall. Let's get more time to get more information. That's not what Daniel's doing. He's not stalling. He's saying, King, can I have time? Just give me some time to go and pray, and I will tell you what your dream means. That's great confidence from this man, Daniel, where he's willing to go before the king. Because we know, if you remember the story of Esther was going to go in before the king. And when she goes in, she goes in for fear of her life, because at that point, if the king holds forth his scepter, then she's safe to come in. But if he doesn't, even as his wife, she could have her head taken off. And so Daniel shows great bravery, goes into the king, and petitions for some time to pray. I wish we would take more time to pray. I wish we would take more time to just step back from the situation and pray about it. You know, there are things, and Pastor likes to say, there's things you don't have to pray about. When Rochester Hills called and said, hey, we'd like to give you a bus, I'll be honest with you, I didn't pray about it. I just said yes. You know, he said, well, check with your pastor. I said, he'll say yes, but I will check with him, and I'll call you back. Yes, there are some things you don't have to pray about. But you know what? There are a lot of situations that we should really step back and just say, let's pray about this for a minute. And that's what Daniel does. He says, let me pray, and I will come back to you with the answer to the question. So, go to the source. Who do we go to? Do we go to the wise men? That didn't work out. We got to go to the source. It's sort of working. Daniel asked others to pray to God with him. What does he do? He goes into verse 17. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So he goes to them and he says, hey guys, do I have some gossip for you? That's not what he does. And he doesn't go to them and, hey guys, we've got a really bad situation on our hands. We need to meet. We need to have some deliberation between us, and we need to vote as a deacon board, right? We got to vote as... That's not what he does. He goes in and he says, guys, we need to pray about this. We need to pray that God's will be done. How often do we pray for God's will, and how often do we pray for our will? We hope our will is God's will, but we often just say, God, give me what I want. And he goes in and he says, hey, let's pray to God. And in verse number 18, it says that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He says, he doesn't go in and say, guys, we got to come up with a plan. Maybe we can fake it. Maybe we can make the king think that we're we've got it figured out. Maybe we can stall a little bit longer. He just says, guys, we need to pray about this secret. There's a secret. God knows it, and we need to pray about it. God answers the prayer and reveals the dream and the meaning to Daniel. It says in verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So God comes in and he answers the prayer. Who do we go to when we need an answer? We go to the person with all the answers. When I have a car question, the first person I typically go to is my dad. The second person I go to is Dean. That's who I go to because they're experts. When I have a question about construction, I go to Brother Danny or Brother Al or Brother Tommy. When I have a question about Little Debbie's, who do you go to? You know, you go to Randy. We go to the people who know. Listen, God has all the answers. And so Daniel and his friends, the king doesn't know who to go to. He went to his wise men. They didn't know. And he has no answer other than just kill them all. But he doesn't have a plan. He thinks this is going to make him feel better, but it's not. So Daniel and his friends, these three Hebrew children, they know who to go to. And they go to the source. Who gave King Nebuchadnezzar that dream? God did. You know, there's a few times in the Bible where God speaks in a dream or in a vision to some pagan leaders, to unbelievers, and God spoke to them. Now, he doesn't do that now. I mean, he speaks to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. But back then, he would actually speak to people in these ways at different times, and he would even do it sometimes to an unbeliever. And so Daniel and his friends, they say, here, we know where we need to go. We need to go to the source of the dream, and that is to God. So they beg mercies of God in verse number 18. And then Daniel praised God for answered prayer. He says in verse 19 that the secret was revealed unto Daniel in the night vision, that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And what does it mean to bless? There's two different meanings of the word bless, or two different ways it's used. One of them is, I have been so blessed. God has blessed me. God has blessed our church. He has given us far beyond what we deserve. He has made things work. He has blessed us with unity. He's done all these things. And so that's one way, that blessing. But the other way to bless his name means to lift up, to exalt, to extol his name, to lift it up in front of people. And so what does Daniel do is he extols God's name. He lifts it up to people. And he lifts it up to God, and he lifts it up for others to see. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. Why is it getting cold outside? Because God made it get cold outside. Why in March, April, May, why is it going to start getting warmer? Because God's going to make it get warmer. Why is it hot in the summer? Because all you with your SUVs. No, it's not. It's because God made it, because Brian keeps selling you guys terrains. No, it's because God makes it warm in the summer. And he makes it cold in the winter. And you say, well, no, that's just nature. It's just the way it happens. Because God set it up that way. And so God is the one who changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Nebuchadnezzar would not have built this empire. He would not have become the king. He would not have built up the Babylonian empire had God not allowed it, had God not set him up there. Verse number 21. He setteth up kings, and he removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Do you ever meet somebody who you think, man, that person's just got so much wisdom? God, it's like the rich keep getting rich. The wisdom, the wise people keep getting the wisdom. Why is that? It's not fair. My son said to me today, Dad, it's not fair. I looked at him and said, yes, it is. Because it was fair. My dad used to say to me, who said life was fair? Listen, God is fair. And God is just. And James tells us that if we need wisdom to ask of God, because he giveth to all men liberally and he upbraideth not, means he doesn't hold it back from us. So why is it that Daniel seems to get more wisdom? Is this the rich getting richer? It is. Because why? Because Daniel was given wisdom and he used it. And God gave more wisdom and he used it. Chapter 1, we see Daniel's wisdom in how to deal with the situation with not eating of the king's meat. He decided, hey, give us water and vegetables and let us live on that for a while and then see if we don't look better than those guys. And the guy who was keeping them, he's like, whatever, let's give it a shot. I don't think he said whatever, but he said, let's give it a shot. And after the certain amount of time, they looked healthier than all the other guys who had been eating the king's meat. He used wisdom. And so God keeps giving wisdom to the wise. Why does God give wisdom to the wise? Because they keep using the wisdom. Why does he give knowledge to those that are that understand? Because they keep using it. And so when it's not fair. Why does that person have so much wisdom? Because they use it. Because they ask for it. And Daniel is a man who asked for wisdom, and he used wisdom. Oftentimes, we ask for it, and then we say, I don't like how that's working out. And we don't use the wisdom that God's given us. So Daniel prays God for his answered prayer. Give God glory. So what do we do with our prayers? Daniel interceded on the behalf of the wise men. Go to verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went up to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. So Daniel, he intercedes on behalf of the unbelievers. Think about this. These are the buffoons that couldn't answer the question, right? These are the guys who the king went to. These are the wise men, quote unquote, and they couldn't answer the question. So what does Daniel do is he intercedes on their behalf. How does that apply to us? What should we do on behalf of unbelievers? We should intercede on their behalf. God, would you please stay off your judgment because they need you. They need Christ. They need salvation. I just this morning finished a book that I started a while ago called Counterculture. And it was so good. I had a couple pages left last night, and I have it on my iPad too. So I gave the book to my brother-in-law last night. I said, you need to read this book. And he said, all right, I'll start it tomorrow. This Brian's reading it, I think, or has read part of it, or all of it. Pastor's read it. It's an incredible book. And in there, it looks at all these different, it's written by David Platt, and it looks at all these different scenarios that we face in our culture. It looks at the topic of marriage. It looks at the topic of sex slavery. It looks at the topic of homosexuality. It looks at the topic of marriage. It looks at the topic of adoption and foster care. And it looks at, I think, 9 different topics. And all of them, he takes everything. It's a very compassionate look, but a very gospel-centered look at all of this. Because all those people, the kids who are without parents, the kids who are in foster care, the kids who need adoptive parents, the little girls, and the book is shocking when you read it, isn't that, Brother Brian? The little girls in foreign countries that are 9, 10 years old, the age of my daughters, and are being kidnapped and taken into sex slavery so that they can be raped day after day after day. Those little girls need the gospel. But you know, so do the men who pay for them. All of these, we need the gospel. And Daniel intercedes on the behalf of these men who aren't believers. You know, we're very good at praying for people. We're very good when somebody in church has a need and they're going in for surgery and it goes out on the prayer chain. And we're very good about getting that out there and people pray. And I know you do, but we pray for each other. But, you know, we need to intercede for those that are without, the people that are unbelievers. We need to intercede on their behalf. So Daniel does that. He intercedes on the behalf and ends up saving their lives. And so Daniel told the king that no one on earth could reveal this secret, including Daniel. It says in verse number 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me that dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. He's not just saying, listen, all those guys can't do it. I know you want, here's what you want, king. But all those losers, they can't do it. I wanted you to keep them alive so that I could humiliate them. All those losers can't do it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, no matter who you talk to, we can't do it. We on our own cannot give you the interpretation of your dream. I can't. And Daniel never takes the glory for himself. In this whole passage, he never says, I this, I that. One of the things that I noticed, I just said it. One of the things that I noticed studying my Sunday school lesson this week was how often, and actually studying what I was studying last week with Moses, and it just seems like every time I'm studying, I see when there's problems, it's because somebody's saying, I. And Daniel never says, well, here, King, I prayed to my God, and I humbled myself before my God, and I did this, and I did that, and God showed me what it was. He says, no, none of us can do it. None of us. And the glory must go to God. So Daniel gives God the glory. In verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Here's what he says. He says, there's a God in heaven that revealeth. Instead of my prayers being, God, will you do this through me? God, will you use me to accomplish this task for you? How about just, God, I want your will done. And however you do that, whether you use me or use Brother Brian, use Brother Bill or use Callie, whoever it is, God, I just want your will done. But often in my pride anyway, and I can only speak for myself, often in my pride, I say, God, I want to do great things for you. I want you to use me to do great things. How about just, God, I want you to do great things. And God, when you do great things, we're going to say, praise God for it. Not praise Stephen, not praise Pastor, not praise Brother Bill, not praise Brother Andy. Praise God for what he's done. And Daniel does that. He never says, I. He says, there is a king, there is a God who can reveal the answers to the king. We need God to reveal answers to our president. We need God to reveal answers to our governor. We need God to reveal answers to our mayor. We need God to reveal answers, and he can do it. And you think, what good can I do? I'm just one person. How much can I accomplish in a city here of Warren, I think, which is about 150,000 people or something like that? What good can I do in this city? What good can I do in the state of Michigan? What good can I do in this country? Here's what you can do. You can reach that person that's unsaved, and you can intercede on God, intercede for them you can intercede to God on their behalf. You can. I'm telling you what, this book is in my mind, and I'm having trouble getting past it. But you can. What can I do for the little kids that are being sold into sex slavery? What can I do for the marriages that are broken up? Listen, you can impact one person, but here's what you can do: you can pray, because that's what this is really all about. And I'm not saying we're excusing inaction. We need to act also. But our first call shouldn't be 911. Our first call shouldn't be our parents. Our first call shouldn't be this person that we trust. The first call should be to God. God, will you work in this situation? I need you. They need you. And God, whether I have anything to do with it or not, whether you use me in that situation or not, God, I just want your will done. Prayer is not about me getting what I want, but prayer is about God getting me in line to want what he wants. Often we say, and I think this was in our Sunday school lesson 2 weeks ago, we say, God, I kind of think you want me to go that way, but would you mind if I go this way? Would you just go with me that way? And sometimes God says yes. Remember Lot? Lot said, God, when the angel said, get out of there and go up in the mountains, Lot said, can we go into this little city, and Zoar, I think it is, And God said, all right, well, you can go into Zoar. And guess what? He went to Zoar, and he ended up in the mountain because he was afraid up in Zoar. He should have just done what God said in the first place. And our prayers, my prayers, become so much of, God, I want good things. But here's what I want, God. Will you do this for me? When my prayer really should be, God, will you show me what you want so I can pray for that? That's where we really need to be with God. You might look at somebody like Daniel and say, man, he prayed that they would understand something, or that they would know something, a secret that they have no way of knowing. He prayed for it, and God said, okay, I'm going to reveal the secret to you. And we go, Well, that's crazy. That stuff doesn't happen to me. Why did it happen to Daniel? Why did God reveal to Daniel the things that were a secret? Because Daniel prayed according to God's will. It was God's will that Daniel know that. Why? So Daniel could get glory? No, so he could get glory. And so God said, look, I'm going to grant this request because this is my will. He didn't grant the request because Daniel was special. He granted it because it was his will. And so our prayers need to be more of, God, I want your will. And God, I want you to be glorified. I don't want the glory for myself. Upstairs, I do this each week. I give them a way to apply it. Number one, talk to God. Take time daily to pray. Don't just make prayer a crisis situation thing. Don't make it something where, oh, man, I've got this test. So you college kids, I've got a test. For you that have jobs, I've got this project due at work. I've got this family problem. I've got to, God, will you help me now? And those are good times to go to God, but that shouldn't be the only time we go to God. Make prayer a daily part. And I told our teens, I said, listen, if you're not praying at all right now, and I mean, I'll be honest with you, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd say it's a minority of our kids that have a daily prayer life. And I wonder what the percentage would be in here with adults. What percentage of us have a daily prayer life? Doesn't mean you don't ever miss and, you know, you're perfect. I never miss my daily prayer. But how many of us have a daily prayer life? Have a daily prayer life, not just a crisis prayer life. Keep track of your prayers. Make prayer lists and keep record of answered prayers. I have a prayer list in my journal in my office, and in that prayer list, I've got this, and this, and that. One of the things I told the teens, I've never told them this before, one of the things in the middle of my prayer list is, God, bring revival through our youth group. Because if the rest of the church, and I'm not saying you don't, but if the rest of the church doesn't want revival, God, bring revival through our youth group. These things are things that we need to pray for daily. God, I know it's God's will. I know God desires to have revival in the hearts of his people. So God, it's your will, and we would love for you to come through the youth group. Change these kids' lives. Make them more like you. Pray with others, as Daniel did. And I put this up there. I told the teens, and this is no different. By the way, this doesn't apply any less to us as adults than it does to those teenagers. Pray with others. Maybe even start a prayer group. Well, I don't know. I'd have to pray about that. Okay, then pray about it, but let's start some prayer groups. And I'm not going out of line, you know. I'm saying privately. Say, hey, you know what? I feel like maybe we both want the same thing for this church. I think maybe we both want the same thing for our family. Hey, let's get together. Maybe we can get three or four of us together before Sunday morning. Let's pray together. I remember I was preaching somewhere, and I can't remember where it was. I think it was a church in Kentucky. I was preaching it, and during the sermon, I didn't know this till after, there's a couple guys that every Sunday they go in the back room and they just pray through the whole service. I wish they had told me that before. I'd have been real fired up. But they were back there praying for me while I was preaching. Why don't we have some prayer groups? Prayer to us is, God, here's all the requests that we give you on Wednesday nights, and here's all the requests that came through the prayer chain, but that's not what prayer is all about. Those are good things to pray for. Let your requests and petitions be made known unto God. For sure, we need to do that, but we just need to pray and say, God, can you just have your will in our lives? We want that. We want your will in our lives. We want your will in the church's life. We want your will in our family's lives, and so we're going to pray together for that. I encourage you to pray with others, with your spouse, with your friends, with someone. Let's get together and let's pray together. Let's pray now while the instrumentalists come and we get ready for invitation. Are you coming up? Somebody else? Okay. Let's pray now as we prepare for invitation. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to come to you in prayer, Lord. I was guilty and I feel inadequate to even preach on this, but Lord, I thank you that we can come to you with our petitions. I thank you that when we're in crisis, you're there with us. When we're going through trials, you're with us. When we're dealing with a family situation that we don't have a clue how to handle, Lord, that you're there with us. But Lord, help us not to forget that you're there every day. And you want to hear from us. You want to talk to us. But Lord, oftentimes we don't hear from you. because we don't ask. We don't have wisdom because we don't ask. We don't have understanding because we don't ask. Lord, I pray that we would, our prayer lives would evolve more into a seeking your will. Lord, you said that if we would follow you, that you would give us, if we would seek after you, that you would give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, I truly believe that you will do that. But Lord, I believe our desires will be different than what they are when we're in our flesh. So Lord, I pray that we would become a church of prayer. We'd become people of prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our church. We'd bring revival. Lord, through this group on Wednesday nights, through the teens, through the kids ministry, through the senior adults, whatever it is, Lord, we just want revival because we know that that's your will, that you revive the hearts of your people. And so, Lord, we pray that our prayer lives would cease to be non-existent and that it would be something that's a part of our fabric. It's something that we do daily. It's something that we do constantly. Lord, I pray that you would work in your people. Lord, that the gospel would become the foremost thought in our minds. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be accomplished in our lives. We pray for the invitation tonight. Lord, if there's somebody here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would trust you. That tonight, your Holy Spirit would make known that they're in need of a Savior. And Lord, I pray that tonight that they would turn their lives over to you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Brian?
445.
Let's stand and sing 445.